Men, recognizing that God has a special dwelling place for us, eternal in the heavens. Amen. We speak in this song of it being a mansion, now empty, just waiting for me. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to spending eternity with God, yes, sir, and with all the saints of all ages. Yes, by faith, we recognize the reality of heaven and the blessings that heaven will bring.
That's right.
And we should be able to have a spirit of joyful anticipation when we think about the end of this life.
Amen.
And when we think about being ushered into eternity. And it becomes more obvious each and every day that though the inward man is renewed day by day, mm-hmm, the outward man is perishing. The outward man is becoming weaker. The outward man is becoming debilitated. Every time we feel pain in our joints, that's an indication,
right,
that the outward man is perishing. Every time we reach for a pair of glasses to put on so that we can see a little bit more clearly and a little bit better, that's an indication that the outward man is perishing. Anytime we experience backaches and headaches and toothaches and heartaches, whenever we notice the gray tinge of our hair, and some are becoming white-headed, and that can be a beautiful thing, but it is an indication that we are in decline,
right,
and that we are going out of business. We are headed inexorably toward the grave.
Right.
But the grave is not our final destination. We are going beyond the grave. The poet said it very well when he said, "Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave." But he also said, life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art to dust returnest was not spoken of the soul.
Right.
We are headed to a much better place.
Mm-hmm.
Going to that place where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary be at rest.
Amen.
And all of God's saints of the ages will sit at his feet and be blessed.
Amen.
Good to see each of your bright faces this evening. It's encouraging to see my brothers and sisters in Christ whenever we assemble together to worship God, our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Especially those who come to the second service. You have usually a little deeper dedication, a little stronger commitment to God and to his cause.
Mm-hmm.
And we are grateful for you. We are grateful that we are in the same family. We are grateful that we subscribe to the same gospel and philosophy of life, that we are striving for the same goal.
Amen.
And that we share a like faith with each other.
Yeah.
So it's good to see you, good to be here with you.
Yeah.
Turn to the scripture that was read a moment ago. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. This is one of my favorite passages. I'm sure it has a special place as well in the hearts of many of you. I'm going to just go ahead for our purposes this evening and focus our attention on verse 1. Brother Waller read verses 1 through 3, but we're going to just focus on verse 1. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This verse is a great comfort for troubled hearts. It promises divine help to see us through the difficulties of life. And we all have difficulties. We've all had difficulties. We've all had struggles. And if we continue to live, we're going to experience some additional difficulties, some additional challenges, some additional troubles, some additional trials, some additional tribulations. If you haven't experienced them already, believe me, you are going to. But it is good to know that we have God on our side. God is there for us to comfort those troubled hearts. He's there for us to see us through those difficult times of life. And when I look out over this audience, whenever we assemble together on Lord's Day to worship, I see many of you who have experienced difficulties and trials and hardships, but your faith has been unwavering. Your faith has been demonstrated to be strong, to be resilient. Your faith has demonstrated itself to be genuine, to be authentic. You're real. Your faith is real. And you have demonstrated that by your perseverance, by your continual faithfulness and striving. You don't allow the troubles of life and the difficulties and trials of life to get you down or to hold you down. Right. We've had a number of members of this congregation who have experienced serious illnesses and serious health challenges, but you still keep your spirits up and you continue to strive to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. And even to encourage others in the midst of your troubles. We want to consider three things, and the lesson will be yours. We want to think about shelter. God is our refuge. Refuge here means shelter. God is a place we can go for protection. On my way home, on Chute Lane in Gallatin, where we see numerous deer roaming. Some could say it's home on the range where the deer and the buffalo roam. I haven't seen any buffalo, but I do see 8 or 10 deer at a time sometimes. But there's a house being built right now. And it seems that they have a basement that is surrounded, at least in part, almost completely, by walls that are about a 1 foot thick, concrete walls. Concrete walls that are reinforced so they can withstand tornadic winds should the storm come. And if I live probably about 2 miles or 2.5 miles from this house. I would like to say that if a tornado came in that area, I feel I would be more safe if I could make my way to that house because it would make an excellent shelter in a time of storm. But I'd probably do better just by staying at home and battening down the hatch as best I could. But if I was next door, I probably could make it to that fine fortified shelter that he is building. And I admire him creating this kind of refuge so that if a storm comes, he's able to shelter himself and his family.
Right.
A shelter is a place that we go for protection, a place that we go for provisions. We sing that song. We used to sing it all of the time, Jill, out at the county jail when we were administering to the women who were being incarcerated there. That hymn we used to sing, and we sing it here sometimes, is entitled Shelter in a Time of Storm. That is exactly what God is, and the best shelter is the shelter he provides for our souls.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the great shelter from eternal judgment on sin. We can shelter in Christ and be spared that judgment storm.
Right.
That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, therefore I do all things for the elect's sake, that they too might obtain the eternal salvation which is in Christ Jesus, or may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So remember that God is a shelter. He is our refuge in the time of storm. But let us also keep in mind that God is our strength. And though we might be weak, frail, faltering, and fragile, we recognize that God is still our strength. Our physical strength might be winding down, waning, but God is the source of our spiritual strength. We need divine strength. And I'm sure some of us would not be able to make it. Some of us would not be able to survive the various trials and tribulations and troubles of life were it not for the divine strength that is infused into our hearts and into our minds by the great God of glory. We need divine strength to live right and to keep going in time of trial. Sometimes you're tempted to give up. Sometimes you're tempted to throw in the towel. Sometimes you're wondering if you're going to be able to make it, if you're going to be able to continue to go on. But God supplies the strength we need in times of trial. And Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, as he prepares to close out this epistle to the Ephesians, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He didn't say be strong in yourselves and in the power of your might. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen.
Temptations are many. Temptations are strong. They compass us about on every side. We sometimes wonder if we will survive. We feel so weak and so unable to overcome these temptations. Trials as well as temptations threaten to overwhelm us, and we sometimes think we simply cannot keep going. But God will give us the strength we need to meet every temptation and every trial in life. And I see wonderful examples before me of those whose faith has enabled them to tap into the inexhaustible supply of strength that is made available by our God. Finally, we want to focus on steadfastness. Steadfastness is suggested by the expression, a very present help in time of need, in time of trouble. So many things fail us when trouble comes. In the sunshine, we do well. But when trouble comes, it seems we are suddenly all alone and desolate. When trouble comes, friends and many other things which we thought would help in trouble fail us instead. But God will not fail us in our troubles. Trouble is when God's help really shines. And the words "a very present help" literally means that God is a very accessible help. He is a ready help. He is the help at hand. He is close by to help. He is only a prayer away. We can obtain his help quickly and in trouble. That's very important. I was sharing with the class on this past Wednesday that there's a sign on a billboard as you're leaving the region of Hendersonville and as you're approaching Rivergate, and it says, "Get treated, not seated." And it's speaking of an emergency service medical facility at Station Camp in Gallatin. And what the idea is that when you have an emergency situation, you don't have to wait in the waiting room for a protracted period of time till you can be have your problem addressed or have your situation addressed or have your hurts and your pain and your emergency treated. You can be treated, they are saying, instantly, as soon as you walk in, they are ready. So don't be just seated waiting in the waiting room. Be treated in God's emergency room. Instantaneously, he can provide the treatment, the care that you desperately need. And God can attend to all of our cares. We don't have to sit in the waiting room and have to wait and hear God say, "Next." But we finally can treat you. So you get treated in God's emergency room. Get treated immediately. Get treated now. God is a very present help in trouble. He's accessible. He's right on the spot. He is close by whenever you need him. Maybe you need him this evening. Maybe you're faced with some serious challenges. Maybe you're in circumstances where you can't see a way out of. Maybe you're at the end of your rope. You know, somebody said, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in the end and hold on or hang on. I say, when you get to the end of your rope, take a quick instantaneous trip to God's emergency room, and he will treat you immediately. He is as close by. You don't even have to pick up the phone. You don't have to dial 911. You don't have to dial 600. I forgot that number. 8600. Y'all remember? Say it again. That's it. 862-8600. That's for urgency, not emergency. When you have an emergency, what do you dial? 911. When you have an emergency and you want access to one who can help you instantaneously, all you have to do is go to him in prayer. If you're here this evening and you need a very present help in trouble, we ask you to take advantage of the help that is offered by the God of glory. You can do that now as we together stand and as we sing.